Hello, Podsters. Suki and Lee here, and you are listening to the best of Definitely Not the Opera, the do-it-yourself episode. Now, I guess if we were really doing it ourselves, we would send you a half hour of dead air, and you could go out and make your own podcast. However, here at DNTO, we take a more collaborative approach to DIY. So here's what's coming at you today. We gave DNTO listeners a few square scraps of blue cloth emblazoned with the DNTO logo, and we sent them on a mission to make the best craft you can out of a bunch of DNTO scarves. We have our celebrity judge, Sarah Quinn of Tegan and Sarah fame, here to announce our winner, and then we'll chat with a lucky listener. Also coming your way, Judith Clausen will explain why handymen are so smoking hot these days. And comedian Fraser Young will tell us why doing it yourself isn't always the best option. But to start, we'll go to a man who is perhaps more funny than handy, John Wing Jr., with his latest letter from America.
This is John Wing reporting from the left coast of America, and I don't need anyone. I can build furniture in a box from IKEA, I can cut my own hair, shave my own legs, and make popcorn in a minute and a half in my microwave. I can dress myself, drive myself, and even have sex with myself. I can remove my own stitches, although it takes a lot longer than a doctor would, and there's always a lot of blood, but who cares? I've saved myself a trip to the hospital and watched my own TV while I was doing it. We are the do-it-yourself society. Meeting other people or talking to them in any way is now virtually unnecessary. What do I need at the store that I can't order online? I feel sad for the once thriving business of selling encyclopedias. Who needs it? The internet can teach you how to enrich plutonium in your own home. The bank is automated. The ATM machine is often just as polite as the tellers used to be. Robbing a bank once meant you had to meet a whole bunch of people, tellers, customers, etc., but now you can just stick up a person at the ATM. So much better for our felonious society members, as few of them are socially at ease anyway. Going to the airport used to require meeting several people and depending on them to help you, but thankfully, no more. I can order my ticket online, print it out myself, tag my own bag, strip search myself, confiscate my own liquids and gels, and declare myself safe to travel. Eventually, I'll be able to serve my own drinks and clean up the passenger cabin myself, especially if I'm flying Air Canada. Do-it-yourself builds a sense of independence, a disassociation with the world. But of course, advances in science and technology can make even do-it-yourself better. I used to cook my own bacon in a frying pan. What a gigantic waste of time. Now I keep it simple. Instant bacon, my friends, pre-cooked, then frozen, and ready in 30 seconds in your microwave. And then I have 15 or 20 extra minutes, gravy minutes, in my busy life to do other things, like build an addition to the house or just lie around daydreaming of the old days when I had friends. Technology has also helped reading immeasurably. Once reading a book was a pleasant do-it-yourself activity, but it took days. My God, who has that kind of time anymore? No problem. Books on CD. For the car. And you've transformed your morning commute into a dream world of Dean Kuntzian pleasures. Hey, why read books when you can write your own? Look at President George Bush. He's written more books than he's actually read. Do it yourself, people. Don't depend on anyone else. I mean, who needs a soulmate anyway? Build a robot who tells you how great you are and always wants your body. Why pay more? Why pay anything? Build your own patio, your own bomb shelter, your own car. Need brain surgery? Attach a big ice pack to your head for a couple of hours, then get out the drills and the power saw. Be sure to use mirrors, though. You wouldn't want to make a mistake and end up not being able to fend for yourself. Remember when you were a kid? You'd ask your mother to get you something, and she'd say, "What's the matter? You got no legs? Get it yourself." Well, by God, your mother was right. It's too bad she didn't live to see the fabulous paradise of independence we've created. Who cares about what other people think? Who cares about other people? Be your own person. Live free or die. And when you die, be sure you prepared your do-it-yourself funeral kit, because let's face it, no one's going to do it for you. I'm John Wing.
Who needs a kit? Just throw that dead body over the side of the I-5. It's cheaper than a funeral. And that is our very own Grouchy Pants, John Wing Jr. Now, as I mentioned earlier, we gave our listeners a chance to win a fabulous prize, in this case, co-hosting an hour of DNTO with me, but they had to demonstrate their mad crafting skills. I figured I needed some help in judging those crafty entries, so we enlisted a lady who knows a little something about DIY. Sarah Quinn, one half of the singer-songwriter duo Tegan and Sarah. Hello, Sarah.
Hello.
Hey, so Sarah, how much have you had to spearhead your own opportunities DIY style?
Well, like, since we were little kids, one of the first things that, electronic things that my mom ever bought us was a tape recorder when we were little kids. And she said that from the moment it arrived, we didn't want to listen to anything. We wanted to record ourselves and listen back to ourselves. Mm-hmm. So, like, as little kids, we have these tapes of us just babbling, telling stories. They're remarkable because it was, like, just so natural. We didn't want to listen to the tapes that my mom had bought. Like, it was so natural for us to just go directly to, like, making our own entertainment.
So you're really driven to make your own stuff.
Yeah.
And today you are our esteemed judge of the DNTO Square Contest. You're a square, Sarah. Perhaps you are a square.
I am a square.
It's a different kind of square.
Yeah, okay. And I loved the contest. I was delighted when I saw the pictures of what people had done. I really was.
Yeah, basically what happens is crafty individuals across Canada have used their imaginations to come up with at least 101 uses for a square piece of cloth, known by some as a hanky with the DNTO logo splattered all over it. Sarah, are you the crafty sort of gal?
You know, I'm not. And I'm kind of like, I have like good intentions. Like, I'll start a craft and then I'll give up on it really kind of when it starts to get difficult and when I have to see it through. So I'm not a great craft person. I'm not. I made a turtle once in home ec class. And I thought that it was, when it was finally done, I was pretty amazed by my stuffed animal turtle. I'm sure my mom sold it in a garage sale.
I made that same stuffed animal turtle in home ec.
You did not.
I did. And I took my little sister's favorite blanket to make the turtle out
of.
You
did, hey.
Oh, I got in trouble.
That's horrible.
That's horrible.
She was like,
where's my blanket?
Yeah. I made
a turtle.
That's awesome.
So you're saying that you have a difficult time to follow through with some of your crafty crafters?
Pretty much everything in my life I have a hard time following through. But I think I have that fear of failure. So, or boredom. I'm not really sure what it is.
Well, then it's perfect, Sarah. It doesn't matter. You know, it's all in the doing, even though if you don't follow through all the time. But you are the perfect judge for our do-it-yourself edition of DNTO.
Thank you.
Later on, we're gonna bring out the finalists, and you're gonna judge the 101 uses for a DNTO Square contest and announce the winner. But I also have another challenge for you. Now, I understand you're inside our Montreal studio, and the producer there has left some crafting supplies
yes.
for you. Is that true?
Straight from her desk, I think.
What do you have?
I've got some paper, and I've got some Post-it notes, and a pencil, and some Sharpies, and some tape.
Okay, so Sarah, here is your challenge.
Okay, bring it on.
In the next hour,
yeah.
as we get down DIY style, you have the opportunity to put your crafting skills to good use and follow through. So see what you can make out of all those things on your desk there. And we will get back to you and check in to see where you're at.
But nobody's ever going to see it, so I could say like I made a ship or a car or something.
Yeah. A brand new car.
I made a race car. I'm using friction between, and no, that probably, I'll have to do something more realistic.
Get to work, Sarah.
Okay.
We'll check back in with Sarah later on in the podcast to see how she's doing with her crafting and who she will pick as the winner of our DNTO crafting contest.
I like a man to be a man. I like a man to be really handy around the house, to be able to do any repairs that are needed. A man's man.
Well, I'd love him to be in my home, fixing my home.
I like to watch him work.
I'd like to fantasize.
Yeah, he needs to build me a deck. Cut my grass.
All right, so who are those women talking about? Who is that guy, that everyman? And could he be the new must-have mate? We're here to fill us in on womankind's most useful accessory since the giant purse is Judith Klassen. Hello, Judith.
Hey, Sukyan. How you doing?
I'm doing well. Okay, so who are the women referring to, this object of desire?
Well, remember when it used to be the doctor? You know, every Harlequin romance novel had this guy in a lab coat with a quivering virgin on his knee. That's no longer the case. You know, women aren't hot for doctor anymore.
Okay, so the doctor has been asked to leave the operating room. Why? Why is the doctor going the way of the dinosaur?
Well, I think this clip from the current hot Doctor on Doctor Love show, Grey's Anatomy, will give you a hint.
I went to medical school.
You went to med school?
Yeah, dropped out my last year of clinical. Too many hours, and I was staring into the ice-cold eyes of divorce.
Wow.
Yeah, I do research now, and I have a life, a family.
All right, so there you go, a scene from Grey's Anatomy in which a patient is talking about why he didn't want to be a doctor, because doctors are emotionally unavailable, working too long. And that is not hot.
I don't know if you've seen the show, but there is one particular doctor who's they refer to as Dr. McDreamy. And he is, that's for sure. But, you know, I imagine one glance at his brutal schedule and you might limit it to sex in the elevator, which kind of happens on that show, sort of.
Well, Judith, if not doctors, then who?
Well, let me give you a small clue.
My phone. Did they actually do this for you?
No, they didn't. Not doctors. You want a good job? Keep me in shape.
Yes, we've traded in the workaholic with the God complex for the laid-back guy with the Son of God complex. Jesus was a carpenter, remember?
Aha, so carpenters are the new it boys. When did the tool belt become today's answer to scrubs?
Yeah, good question. Well, you know, I think it has something to do with all those home improvement shows. Like, they're always showing these guys fixing up their homes, and the homes are always beautiful and sparkling, and there's no crap anywhere, right? So I just think it's really difficult for women to get it up in a dive. You know, for an example of that, how about that fabulous show, The Simpsons? They always nail everything.
Cool, a carpenter's library. This doesn't look easy, but I'll bet it is.
Well, I like the idea of you as a handyman, and I love the idea of you reading.
Oh, yeah? Blah, 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 blah.
Okay,
blah,
guys,
blah,
listening to the show right now, if you want love, don't be a Homer, be a Holmes.
Yeah, Mike Holmes, eh?
I have to take this all down. We are really going to take this down, and we are going to make a mess. But
Mike Holmes has pretty much become a superhero and a sex symbol. Now, is it because he rescues dudes and damsels in distress? Is it because he's a fixer?
He's a fixer. You know, and he's got that smoldering fury at injustice, which I think is a big turn on. You know, he's a big guy, but he's gentle. He's like the gentle giant.
So then are there a lot of ladies loving Mike Holmes?
Well, if you go online, you check out the Holmes chat, you'd be amazed at how many women are hot for this carpenter. They call themselves Mike's harem. They go on and on about his sexy, sarcastic Canadian accent. You know, so even those American chicks are digging the Holmes man. Just listen to this clip of Mike on the Ellen DeGeneres show.
Families that are in trouble, like Jennifer out there,
mm-hmm.
that this is the norm. That is wrong. This is not the way it should be. Pros do not do that.
Will you marry me?
Yeah, a man so irresistible that a lesbian proposes to him. But, you know, really, Mike is just a visible indication of the changing zeitgeist. You know, his existence has contributed possibly to us rethinking all men in coveralls. You know, and clearly the handyman being an object of desire isn't new. You know, literature is full of women looking longingly at men at work. Miss Julie was, how did Strindberg put it? Oh, it's horny for the footman. D.H. Lawrence's Lady Chatterley was so taken with her hardworking gamekeeper, she even let him navigate the road less taken. But my favorite Lady in the Builder story is from the 1949 novel The Fountainhead. In it, famous fascist romance novelist Ayn Rand put great stock in men who could build things, architects, steel barons, but her lustier prose revolved around hands-on labor. Check out this clip from the film version starring Patricia Neal and Gary Cooper. Just keep in mind, she's wearing jodhpurs and carrying a whip, and he's drilling a wall of concrete.
My
do you always stare at me?
For the same reason you've been staring at me.
I don't know what you're talking about.
If you didn't, you'd be much more astonished and much less angry, Miss Franklin.
Okay, I think I need to take a cold shower now. So Rourke is an architect, and that's a whole other It Boy altogether, isn't it?
Well, it is. But, you know, as much as she loved his austere designs, it was the jackhammer in the quarry that wet her, you know, whistle.
And what do you think it says that it's so popular, the handyman guy now? I mean, the women in the beginning of our piece today, they were like, oh, I want a guy who can fix things. Like, it flies in the face of old school feminism. Is it like we're looking for the Grizzly Adams guys again?
Yeah, we're looking for the, the guy.
This is what the metrosexual did to us. We're, you know, this is the metrosexual backlash on its way.
Absolutely, yeah. You know, it's kind of like the hunter-gatherer. You know, shelter has become more important than hunting and gathering.
Yes, I remember my ex-boyfriend standing over me as I was fixing the plumbing of the bathtub, which I learned through a home hardware book. And I'm glad I have that talent in my head.
Yeah.
Well, thank you so much for sharing your perspective with us today, Judith.
You're quite welcome.
That was Judith Clausen and her take on the modern-day handyman. She's also a columnist for Movie Entertainment Magazine. This is the Best of DNTO, the DIY edition. I'm Sikyun Lee. Now, earlier on in the podcast, I was talking with Sarah Quinn of Tegan and Sarah. She was a celebrity guest judge in our DNTO crafting contest, and I gave her as well a crafting mission of her own. Let's check in to see how she's doing.
Well, I decided that I was going to make, there's blue post-it notes, so I decided I was going to make a blue DNTO calendar. But what I've actually done
is a little post-it note.
Yeah, it's like a post-it note calendar on a big sheet of paper. So it's like one of those, you know, like one of those calendars that your grandpa uses, you know, like you put it down on the desk and then you can just write on the squares.
Oh,
right,
yeah,
on
yeah,
it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I'm making one of those, except that it only has 6 months so far. And I've drawn
more post-it notes?
Yeah, yeah, I've got hundreds.
Good.
I could probably do up to 2012 here.
Wow, that's fantastic.
Yeah, and I'm sending it right to you.
Yay! Sarah Quinn is our official judge of the 101 uses of the DNTO Square contest. Basically, we asked our listeners to take some DNTO swag and transform it into something fantastique. Sarah, can you describe the DNTO swag I speak of?
Yes, a blue square with DNTO written all over it. Or sewed? Or what, like stitched? I'm not sure.
Yeah, it was somebody sent us like big boxes full of these things, and we were like, "What do we do?" They're kind of banal, utilitarian.
Right.
Who would want one of these things?
Unless you were going.
We got to make something better out of them, and thus the contest. So what happened was, intrepid listeners came up with some very creative ideas. In fact, we received many, many, many wonderful submissions, but we had to narrow them down to just six finalists. Sarah, do you want to hear about their projects?
Yes, I do.
Okay, let's take a listen.
This is Jill Croft calling from Victoria. I was excited to turn the two DNTO squares into something unique and useful, a DNTO tote bag. The lettering DNTO is along the top edge of the bag, and the definitely not the opera corners of the squares serve as decoration on the sides of the bag. I'm really happy to have a new tote bag, thanks to DNTO.
Hi, I'm Jane Merckx from Balfour, BC. I'm calling about my DNTO Blue Square Cootie Catcher. It's the only fortune-telling device that answers such important questions as, what is the best show on CBC? It comes with its own carrying bag, and it can double as a picnic blanket or a sarong in a pinch. I had a great time with the project. I enjoyed it very much, and I listened to the show while I was doing it. Thanks. Bye.
Hi, my name is Megan Elkmaid. I live in Toronto. I made an apron. I've been really into aprons lately, even though I don't cook. It makes me feel very womanly to wear one, though.
Hi, my name is Sandra, and I live in Toronto. I'm a quilter and a fiber artist, and I made a treasure box for the DNTO contest. And the reason I made a treasure box is because DNTO is a great find on a Saturday afternoon. It took me 15 hours to make, And it looks really great, and I'm so happy the way it turned out.
Holy crafting creativity. Wow, that was something else. Congratulations to the six finalists in our DNTO DIY contest. And they are Megan Elkmaid in Toronto, who created the apron. Jill Croft of Victoria, who made a DNTO shoulder bag. Natalie Webb of Nepean, Ontario, who created a quilt. Jane Merckx, who created the DNTO cootie catcher. And Sharon Constable, who created DNTO sheep clothes. Very nice. And Sandra Reeford of Toronto, Ontario, who created the DNTO treasure box. And if you want to see all of these amazing creations in all of their crafty glory, go to your computer and check out a new page on our website. It is www.cbc.ca/DNTO/photogallery. And wow, take a look at what you can do with a banal blue square with a DNTO label. See what you can make out of it. Really nice things. Now, five of you lucky ducks have just won yourselves copies of Tegan and Sarah's new DVD. Tell us about the DVD, Sarah.
The DVD has a lot of stuff on it. It has a concert that we shot in Toronto last year, and it has all of our music videos, and it has two movies on it that we made, and it also has this incredibly crafty piece done by a girl in Edmonton or outside of Edmonton who made marionettes slash puppets of Tegan and I and our band, and there's a documentary with the puppets, and there's also a music video shot with the puppets, which is amazing.
Wow, that's a lot of stuff in that DVD.
There's a lot in there.
Now, five of you have just won the awesome Tegan and Sarah DVD that includes its own craft section. But only one person wins the grand prize, which is the chance to co-host DNTO with me. That's right. Sarah Quinn is our esteemed judge. Sarah, how tough is it going to be for you to pick the grand prize winner?
It's very tough. I think all of these are really fantastic. And they're all something I couldn't do.
Okay, now is the time we have all been waiting for. It is time to unveil the winner and champion of our 101 uses for a DNTO square contest. Sarah Quinn, our judge, has been agonizing over the question for the last few days. Sarah, do you have a winner?
Yes, I do.
Drum roll, please.
The winner, in my eyes, is the cootie catcher.
Yay!
Because I could, like, the blanket and the bag, even the apron, which I thought was adorable, are all really amazing, and they're all very skillful, but I just couldn't believe that this person still knew how to make one of those cootie catcher things, and it kind of actually seems really complex, and I love the way it looks, and I love the bag that accompanied it. It's great.
Jane Merckx, cootie catcher creator. Cootie catcher, and it sounds very practical, too.
Definitely.
Because not only do you make a lovely craft, it catches cooties.
It catches cooties, and it tells the future in some cases.
Okay, we're going to be hearing from the winner and champion of the 101 Uses for a DNTO Square contest, Jane Merckx, in just a few minutes. In the meantime, if you want to check out Jane's creation, and I tell you, it is a thing of beauty, not to mention the other finalists' entries, head over to our website at www.cbc.ca/DNTO/photogallery. But right now it's time to bring the balance back to DNTO, because we've been spending a lot of time during this podcast praising the creativity and passion behind doing it yourself. But maybe that's not always the best way. Here's Fraser Young with his take on DIY culture.
When I was a kid, my dad built a lot of our furniture. He was very handy, and I wanted to follow in his footsteps, but I always found it so difficult. Whether it was building a fence, staining the deck, or laying tile in the kitchen, I always managed to find a way to turn a fairly routine task into a near disaster. I still remember the time that I tried removing some blue wallpaper, which resulted in our bathroom looking like a Smurf with leprosy. I tried to do it myself, but it just wasn't in the cards. Well, that was then, and this is now. Fast forward 15 years. Now we live in an age where we have the technology to create tools that can do just about anything. Even better, we have access to the information that can tell us how to use these tools properly. What's most amazing of all, though, is the fact that we have the freedom to choose not to use any of it. Truly, this is a magical era. Do it myself? No, thank you. I've tried it, and it just doesn't work. You do it for me, and let me know when it's ready. Okay, now I know what you're thinking. I don't want to do things myself because I'm lazy. Well, you're half right. I'm also useless. I couldn't do most of these things anyway, even if I wanted to, which, make no mistake, I do not. Now, don't get me wrong. I genuinely am glad that we have these tools available because it means that there are now so many more people who are able to do things that used to belong solely in the domain of large companies. I mean, with so many new suppliers, prices for these services have gone down significantly, which works out very well for me. I mean, here's how it works. Anything I can't afford to get someone else to do does not get done. For example, earlier this year, I released a stand-up CD. Technically, you could say that I did it myself. But you would be wrong. I didn't actually do anything other than talk. I hired a person to record it, then another one to get it mixed and edited. Then I found someone to take pictures for the cover, and someone else to do the graphic design. Finally, I went to a company to have copies pressed and cased. I did it myself, by getting other people to do it. If I could have found someone to build a machine that would duplicate my voice, I wouldn't even have to talk. How sweet would that be? Unfortunately, I guess people are just too lazy to build important machines like that, so I had to bite the bullet and do all the talking myself. Still, I appreciate everyone else doing my work for me. And that's how DIY can work for you. I mean, honestly, I don't understand why people do anything for themselves these days. Of all the people in the world that I can get to do something, you think I'm going to choose myself? Are you out of your mind? I like to think that I've got higher standards than that. I guess what I'm trying to say is that I'm all for do-it-yourself. I just don't want those words directed at me. For Definitely Not the Opera, I'm Fraser Young.
Thank you, Fraser. Your thoughts? Let us know. Email dnto at cbc.ca or call our crafty listener hotline, 204-788-3182. And now let's wrap this podcast up with our guest of honor, the pride of Kootenay, BC, super crafter extraordinaire Jane Merks, who won our 101 uses for a DNTO square contest with her magnificent three-dimensional cootie catcher. Jane claimed her prize by co-hosting an hour of DNTO with me all the way from the Kootenay Co-op radio station in Nelson, BC. Here's a bit of that. Jane, you're the winner of our 101 uses for a DNTO square contest. And out of hundreds of entries, the cootie catcher that you crafted out of DNTO squares won first prize. Congratulations, madam.
Oh, thank you very much. That's just amazing, actually.
It's a thing of beauty. So gorgeous.
Oh, thanks. I was just showing the people here in the studio how it works.
Well, it's three-dimensional. It opens up at the top.
Yes. Yep.
And it tells your fortune.
Yeah. Yeah. It's based on those old-fashioned kids' fortune-telling devices that we all had in grade one that tells you just who is the best host on all of CBC Radio.
And that would be Jane Merks. Jane Merks today live from the Kootenays in BC.
Yes.
You are sitting in the comfy co-host couch with me today. Are you ready to go?
I'm ready.
What pop culture craft tip can you introduce to our listeners?
I would say that it's important to keep looking at other things. And that means reading magazines and going to museums and hitting the hardware store, the good old Canadian Tire, because weird things are there. And those things can be incorporated in the work that you do.
What was the last weird thing you found in Canadian Tire?
Oh, well, actually, I used these set of springs for part of a book cover. And I think they were, I don't know if they were supposed to be to fix your car or your screen door, I have no idea. But visually, they had these really nice spirals. And so they ended up being part of a cover for a book I had to do.
Are there any craft magazines out there that you read?
Yeah, I do, actually. There's a really good one that's not even a year old, and it's called Cloth, Paper, Scissors. and it's a mixed media collage kind of magazine, and it really explains the technology behind what you're doing, which doesn't mean you necessarily have to follow it, but it's good to know that, you know, if you melt plastic in a certain way, things will happen, and either you can decide to avoid it or incorporate it into your work as well.
That's so cool. A craft magazine. And is it easy to find?
Yeah, they're very easy to find, yeah. The net actually is a great place to look for these things because you can order them online. And being out here, I tend to order things a lot more, I guess. But I also will pick up things in the city, as they call it, whenever I'm out traveling, whether it's a neat piece of paper or something. It's, you may not get it in the Kootenays, so I might as well have it. So consequently, I have a whole studio full of really beautiful paper.
Okay, so Jane Merckx, her craft tip, search the Canadian Tire for interesting weird things and pick up the magazine for DIYers. It's called Cloth, Paper, Scissors. This is DNTO, IMSYL, and this afternoon we're hanging out with one of the Kootenays' finest. I'm talking about Jane Merckx. She is the winner and champion of the 101 Uses for a DNTO Square contest. Now, she used to be a professor of graphic design, but she now works as an artist designing book covers in the interior of BC. She's lived all over the world, but the Kootenays, just outside of Nelson, BC, is the place she's lived in the longest, 4 years and counting. So, Jane, why do you love the Kootenays?
I think part of it is the people. It's an eclectic mix. So we've got people who have not only come from here, but who have lived here all their lives, but people are coming here, I wouldn't say necessarily later on in their lives, but as an alternative lifestyle, to get away from the hustle and bustle and the incredible stress of a big city. It's a very creative place. Nelson, for instance, is called the best little arts town in Canada. And we've got all kinds of craftspeople, artists, writers, everybody who understands that it's okay to be an individual and to do your own work, but also to work collectively for the greater good of a lot of things.
Oh, that's so cool. It sounds idyllic.
Yeah, it is. It can be a little isolating sometimes, which is why I tend to take off and go and visit bigger cities, but there's no other place I'd rather call home.
I'm Sukyun Lee, here with my co-host, all-around crafting sensation, Jane Merckx, the winner of our 101 Uses for the DNTO Square contest. Jane, as a staunch advocate of doing it yourself, what are some situations that you would caution others not to do it yourself?
Well, I'd say that cutting your own hair is something that I used to do myself as well, but lately have been avoiding it because of the comments that my children used to give me. Rather frequently, actually.
What would they say?
Oh, well, you know, there were things like, well, we know you have a hat collection, Mom. Maybe it's time you used it a bit more often.
So do not do it yourself to your cheveux. Anything else up there?
Certainly things around the house, too. It depends. I personally would never try to empty out my own septic tank. I think that would be kind of on the gross side. And Kay Linda has a couple of ideas, too.
All right, so passing it over to Kay Linda. This is Jane's pal, another do-it-yourselfer up in Nelson. Okay, Linda, what are some things that you shouldn't attempt doing it yourself?
Well, let's see. I don't fix my own chainsaw. Mostly, well, we maintain it, you know, but in terms of repairs, it's kind of important that it runs properly. So we take it to a chainsaw repair person.
Okay, so you will wield it to cut down the birch, but you won't fix it.
Well, it's not that I won't fix it. But I'd rather not. Like, I'd rather not have the chain fly off or the engine seize or something. Like, I don't want to have an error happen with my chainsaw.
Smart.
I guess the other thing that I don't do myself is I don't do self-chiropractic. I go to the chiropractor for adjustments. Although I do sometimes get my friends to crack my back, but I don't do it myself.
I mean, it seems like you need a wealth of knowledge and you wouldn't want to be doing it improperly.
Exactly. It kind of goes along with removing your own warts and dealing with your own teeth.
All right. So Kay Linda and Jane Merckx, two gals up in Nelson, BC, they say do not attempt self-chiropractic adjustments. Do not attempt to fix your own chainsaw or change your septic tank.
That's right.
Very good words of wisdom, ladies. Thank you.
Oh, you're welcome. It was great fun.
Well, thank you very much, Jane, for co-hosting today's DNTO and for introducing us to your pal, Kay Linda.
Well, it was fun.
So what are you working on next?
I'm doing a series of work for exhibitions where I'm taking old handkerchiefs that were embroidered or those old lace doilies that women used to create for the back of their couches, and then I'm printing text on them and then creating books out of them.
Oh, so lovely. Thank you, Jane. Jane Merks is a graphic artist, book designer, and winner of our 101 Uses for a DNTO Square contest and an all-round force of creativity. So that does it for our podcast this week. Don't forget to check us out in radio form. We're on CBC Radio 1 Saturday afternoons at 1 o'clock, as well as on Sirius Satellite Radio 137 in the United States. DNTO is brought to you by a crafty group of people who make the show every week using nothing but construction paper, white glue, safety scissors, and popsicle sticks. Wob Canoe, Anna Lazowski, Nick Purden, Joff Schmidt, and Sarah Tate. Iris Uday is our executive crafter. I'm Sikyun Lee. I'll talk to you in a week.